delighted that you're here. We have a good number present this evening. We have visitors from several places, places where I have been in meetings in the past, at Pound and at Road Creek and at McRoberts, and perhaps some from other places as well, and we're delighted that you're here and hope you can come back and be with us tomorrow night if possible. I encourage you to get your to read between now and tomorrow night, to open your Bibles and turn to the 10th chapter of Romans. That's not our study tonight, but that'll be our text tomorrow night. 21 verses found there, and I encourage you to read those 21 verses before tomorrow night. And we'll be taking our text from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. I want to talk tonight about our value systems. I'm talking about something that every one of us have. We all have one. Whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not, and whether you know how to use it or not, you have a value system. Our value systems are something that sometimes are misunderstood about how they operate and how they work. And so what is a value system? Well, we define a value system. A value system is how we place value, that is how we give emphasis or importance on sundry things. That could be true of things that are material in nature, things that are spiritual in nature, things that have to do with secular education. We have value systems in all areas of life. When we talk about a value system, it's not always something that is deliberate or intentional. That is, we may set a value system, and we didn't intend to set that value system. That was not our intention. It is not always something intentional or deliberate, but it's not always something that's set by the things that we say or orally teach. In other words, I may teach something, but then I may set a value system just opposite of that. I may say one thing, but set a value system just opposite of what I've just said. So it is not always set by the things we say or the things we orally teach. It is not always set by what is heard in a Bible class or a sermon. That is, we may take our children to Bible class all the time, and we think, well, they heard the gospel taught in the Bible class. And they heard gospel preaching time and again, and those were the values we wanted them to hear, but we're setting value systems that are not found in sermons or in classes. Maybe something else we're doing. It's a subtle thing. Our value systems sometimes are unintentional setting of values by decisions we've made. In other words, it may again not be something I sat down and I taught, but it was a decision that I made that set a value system. You'll see how that'll work in just a moment. It may be that we set values about things that we would never teach our children and never say to our children, but we instill them anyway. Have you ever seen people teach their children something they would never sit down and teach them? They would never teach them orally, but they're teaching them by their example and by the value systems that they are setting. Let me show you how it works. Here's how a value system works. Here's something we would never, never teach our children. We would never sit down and teach our children that disobeying parents is acceptable. And if we caught someone teaching our children that, we would have a problem with that. If a classroom teacher said, it's all right to disobey your parents, that's okay, that's acceptable at times, we would want the teacher to get out of the classroom. It would be unacceptable, but here's what we do. We may threaten to spank a child, and threaten to spank the child, and then seldom carry through with the threat. What did we just teach them? We just set a value system that a threat means nothing. And our value system we set says to the child, you know what, you can do anything you want to. You don't have to obey your parents. Can you see how the value systems work? Here's something we would never teach, but here's what we do, and we set a value system contrary to what we really wanted our child to understand. Show you again how that works. We would never teach our children that money is more important than serving God. Can you imagine a parent sitting down with a child now? There are times when money is far more important than serving God. We would be appalled if a parent would ever teach their child that. We wouldn't think of doing that, but here's what we'll do. We'll often miss services to work overtime, maybe to buy some extras. I've known of a number of parents who would tell their children, now, I can't go to church tonight because we're working so we can have the vacation time. The mother took the job so she could then have the extra so they could buy that bass boat or they could buy something like the vacation time. We miss services so we can have some of the extras of life. We just set a value system in the child. And what they learned? They learned that money, material things, sometimes are more important than serving God. We would never teach them that, but we set a value system in them. So we raise the question of who is affected by that. Well, first of all, I want to suggest that we ourselves are affected by the wrong choices that we make. But not only are we affected, but our children, by the values that we set in them. But then there are others who learn from the actions that we take, and they learn something of the value system. But I want to suggest to you that you need not be surprised when your children follow the value system you set for them. Time and again, there have been parents who set a value system, and then they sit back and scratch their head and wonder, I don't understand why the child turned out to be like that. I don't understand that. I didn't teach them that. I never taught them that. We took them to church. Where in the world they learn the values that they have? It may be by the decisions that we have made. We have set values in them we did not want them to have. Don't be surprised when your children turn out to follow the value system you set for them. Sometimes we send different signals than we ever intend to send. Perhaps you've heard the story of the woman who wanted her three boys to become gospel preachers. More than anything else, they wanted those boys to become gospel preachers. So what happened? Well, as she talked about that to various members of the church, and she talked to them about being the kind of people, talk to other people in the church, that I'd like to see my three boys grow up and become gospel preachers is what I'd like. But instead, she couldn't understand why the three boys turned out to be coaches. Nothing wrong with being a coach, but she couldn't understand that. But you begin to look in their life, you talk with them, and you find out they went to every ball game in the local community. Never missed a one. Went to many college games. They also went to many pro games at times. Well, not only did they do that, but they encouraged their boys to play sport. Nothing wrong with either one of those things. But they spent a great deal of time with all three boys at the ball field, playing in all the leagues of football. Not only that, but her husband was an official in some of the games, and so they spent a lot of time watching him officiate the games. Not only that, but they bought all the team memorabilia. They had all kinds of jerseys and footballs and helmets and pennants scattered all through the house and pictures of the teams and the stadiums on the walls. The discussion around the dinner table centered around sports and what the latest team had done. But she couldn't understand why all three of her boys turned out to be coaches. Can you see? Here's what she wanted, but here's a value system she set. Nothing wrong with them being coaches. My point is, we sometimes send a different signal than we ever intend. So I want to talk about three things in our study tonight. Let's talk first of all about the power of a value system. And I encourage you to get your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's talk about the value or the power of a value system. What can you do with the value systems you have? But here's the example you set, the decisions you make that you may never have to open your mouth and orally teach. But you set these value systems. What's the power of it? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You could lead your family to the Lord through your value system. That's powerful, isn't it? Here's a woman in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, but even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of the wives. Here's a woman who is married to a non-Christian man. She is not going to be won by her preaching to him and her talking to him and her nagging at him how he needs to go to church and he needs to become a Christian. How on earth will he ever be converted? Notice, in verse 1 again, he is won by the conduct of the wife. When he observes verse 2, her chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That is, he's influenced to want to become a Christian when he looks at the value system that she has. So one of the things that I can do, and here's the power of that value system, I might lead my children to obey the Lord, I might lead my wife or my husband to obey the Lord. I can lead people to Christ through my value system, but that's not all. It's also possible to take that value system and lead others to do wrong, to influence others to do wrong. Remember Peter in Galatians chapter 2? How that before some came from James, Peter would associate with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came on the scene, that he disassociated himself from the Gentiles and would not eat with them. You remember that? That even Barnabas was carried away with that hypocrisy. You see Peter's example? Peter had a value system. Do you think Peter would teach, sit down and teach, you know what, Gentiles are not acceptable to God? He never thought that, did he? In fact, he thought just the opposite of that. He knew what the truth was, but he set a value system by the example that he set so that even Barnabas was influenced to do wrong by the example that he set. You see how his value system was working? He set a value system on something he would never teach. There's something else about his power. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, by the examples that we set, the decisions that we make, the conduct that we have in our lives, we're writing a letter that other people are reading and they're understanding. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. That you, Paul said, you are our epistle, written on the heart, known and read by all men. See his point? And you are manifestly an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. But this point, the example you set, the things that you're writing, an epistle that is known and read by all men. Have you thought about your life being an epistle that's read? The people are reading the book that you write, and you're setting a value system. You didn't sit down and say it. You didn't put it in writing yourself, that is, in a book, but you're writing the book by your example. Here's something else. The children often become just like their parents, sometimes even go a step or two further than their parents. You say, how do you know that? Well, we know that by experience, don't we? Don't children often do just what their parents teach them? But not only that, Ezekiel 16:44 states a proverb, like mother, like daughter. We may say like father, like son. But often we turn out, our children turn out to be just like we trained them. That is, we may say one thing to them, but we set an example before them. But here's the parent that tells their child, I don't want you to ever smoke. I don't want you to grow up smoking. Now, that's bad for your health, but the parent's smoking all the time. Don't be surprised if your children don't turn out to be just like you. Tell your children that Bible class is important. You need to go to Bible class. You need to learn the Bible, but you don't ever go yourself. Don't be surprised if they don't turn out to be just like you. Like mother, like daughter. Like father, like son. So that's the power of a value system. Here's something else. It's a silent force. It works like leaven. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It's a silent force. It's not loud, it's not boisterous, it doesn't make waves, but it's a powerful force. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's talking about the sin of the fornicator in Corinth, that if that was allowed to continue, that firmly permeates the whole church. You didn't have to stand up and say fornication is okay. You didn't have to say God approves of that. It's all right to commit fornication. Just as example sets a value system in the other people. And it works. Heaven, it's a silent force. And I want to suggest to you, we all understand the principle that actions speak louder than words, don't they? Isn't that true? See the power of our value systems? It's not always what we say, it's not what we orally teach, not what we endorse from the preacher, the Bible class teacher. It may be decisions that we're making. But here's the second thing. Let's talk about the setting of value systems. The setting of value systems, how that's done. It is not by what is taught in Bible class necessarily. That's important. I'm not minimizing that. But the value systems I set in my children were not always taught in Bible class. It was not what was always taught in the sermon. It's not always by what I sit down and teach, and it's not always by what I tell them is right. Then how did I set value systems in there? And how do you set value systems in your children and your grandchildren and people around you? It is not by what you take them to the Bible class to hear and take them to the sermons to hear and what you sit down and hand them in a Bible tract. Have you set value systems? Well, let's list three. Here's the first. By the example we set. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, be thou an example of the believer in word and in spirit and faith and in purity. You be an example of what a believer is. You be the kind of person that others can point their fingers to and say, you know what, that's what a Christian is like. That's how a Christian lives. You be like him, and you'll be a godly person too. Despite what we say, our example set value systems. And every one of us need to remember this principle that somebody is watching you. Somebody's watching you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, somebody's watching you that you may not have any clue is watching you. You think you have no influence? Somebody's watching you. And somebody's learning from that example. And it may be that child who's picking up every little clue. Maybe that grandchild picking up every little clue. It might be a neighbor that's picking up some clues. Somebody's watching the example that you set, and you're setting a value system in them. Here's another way we set our value systems, by the decisions that we make. Turn to Proverbs 26, or 12 and verse 26. Verse 12 describes what a righteous man will do, and he alludes to a decision that he makes, an important decision that he makes. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. The way of the wicked lead him astray. The righteous man chooses his friends carefully. That's a decision he has to make. He's very careful about that. He's very deliberate about that. We set value systems by the decisions we make. Maybe it's the decision we make about a career, about what we're going to do for a living, how it affects our spirituality, how much it keeps us away from home, how much it keeps us away from our husbands or our wives, away from our children. May not be anything wrong with that career within itself, but maybe it's what it's doing to our spirituality, how much it keeps me away from the service. The decisions I make about a career. Maybe it's decisions we make about school. Maybe it's decisions we make about friends that are setting value systems, who we associate with. Maybe it's decisions we're making for ourselves. Maybe it's decisions we make for our children, about our children, that sets our value system. Well, turn with me to James chapter 3. Sometimes our decisions show that we have wisdom, but then also our decisions that we make can show we have a lack thereof. That is, we don't have wisdom. We're not using wisdom. We're not using good judgment. Look at James chapter 3 and in verse 13. He said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." How do you show you're wise? How do you show you're using wisdom? You don't go around telling everybody, I think I'm pretty wise. I think I've been around the block a time or two, and I think I have good judgment. You show your wisdom by the decisions you make. That shows whether you have wisdom or not. Sometimes our decisions show a lack of wisdom, so we're not using judgment. We haven't thought ahead. We haven't thought about the impact. We haven't thought about the future. Here's a third way. We set our value system by things that we allow. Now, back to Judges 14. What was that? That was the case of Samson. Remember, Samson made a request of his parents that he have a wife among the Philistines? Remember that occasion? That's what he wanted. He said, that's what he wanted. His dad asked him, is there not any among them, I'm paraphrasing, of course, is there not some among God's people that should go among the Philistines to find a wife? Well, that's what I want. I found a woman among the Philistines. Go get her for me. And they do. And you see the consequence. I want to suggest you some things that we might not approve. And we might even say they're wrong. Not only do we not give our stamp of approval, we may give our condemnation to them, but we still allow. And we're setting value systems by that. It may be that we are setting values by what we allow our children to do. Again, we may not approve of it. When someone questions, we may say, you know what, I didn't like that, but we still allowed it anyway. We set value systems by what we allow them to miss, and what we allow them to see, and where we allow them to go. I'm going to follow that. It's the parents who have allowed their children to miss worship services. And the things for which they allowed them to miss worship services. And then the parent would say something to the effect, you know, I didn't like that. In fact, I wish they hadn't have done that, but I let them go anyway. We could set a value system in them. Let's go see some movies. We'll talk about it in a moment. I didn't like it, but I let them go. Can you see how we set value systems, the example we set, the decisions we make, and the things that we allow? Now, let's make some application of that. Here's the third and final. We'll spend the rest of our time talking about the identity of value systems. I know the power that it has. I could lead somebody to the Lord, or I could lead them to do wrong by my value systems. And I know how they're set by my example, the decisions that I make, and the things that I allow. Set those value systems. But now, let's see how it works. Let's identify some of these value systems. Let's talk about missing services. If we talk about missing services, here's something that we would never, never teach our children. We would never sit down and teach our children that some things are more important than worshiping God. You ever know a parent sit down and say, now, our lesson tonight is, when we go to bed tonight, we want you to understand some things are more important than serving God. I've never known a parent to do that, have you? And we would never sit down and say, you know what, you can miss a lot of services and that's okay. You know why we won't do that? Because the passage is like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Or like Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But here's what we will do. We will miss for every ache and pain that we have. I'm not talking about when someone is sick and they couldn't do anything if they wanted to, couldn't go to work, couldn't go claim a prize or $1 million if they had to, but they I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about when we have a little ache and pain and we use that as an excuse. Or we miss when we're tired. You know, I'm a little tired tonight, so I just don't think I'm going to go Bible study on Wednesday night. And I went this morning to services. I don't think I'm going to go Sunday night. or when there comes a conflict between the services of the Lord and something else I really wanted to do, then we do what we choose to do instead of going to services. Never would we teach this, but here's what we do, and here's the value system we just set in our children. We set a value system that says for the child, you know what, you can miss for about anything you want to miss for. As long as you think it's really important in life. So you ought to go all the time, except when there's some conflict. And missing is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. We had a little aching pain tonight, and a little family misses. Or you're a little tired, well, maybe you ought to stay at home. I've heard parents say, I told them they need to stay at home and just get some rest tonight. They just need to go to bed. Get a little rest tonight. Be ready for school in the morning. See the value system they set? Here's another thing. We set value systems when it comes to sin. Here's something we would never, never teach our children. We wouldn't sit down and say, now our Bible class today is about that cursing is okay. We would never tell them that, would we? We would never tell them that watching nudity is fine. In fact, if y'all want to go home and watch some nudity, or y'all want to go watch some film, that's fine. Y'all go ahead and do that. Why would we not ever tell them that? Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 7 said. Keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4 said, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your mind pure, because that's how you function in life. The Gentiles were condemned in Romans 1:32 because they not only sinned, but had pleasure in those who did sin. That's why we wouldn't do that. That is what we do allow. Sometimes we allow the cursing and the filth and the nudity on our television sets. No used to when television first came out, when you had to get up off the couch and walk across the room and change the channel and push the button in and turn the knob off or unplug it. You had a filthy word on, you had a filthy scene on, which was very seldom in those days. You got up off the couch, went over and turned it off. And now what we have to do that is flip from one side of the remote to the other and push the button, and we don't do that. We don't do that. We allow things on TV that we wouldn't allow to be taught to our children. We allow them to go see PG-13 and R-rated movies that are filled with filth and nudity and cursing and all kinds of ungodliness. So we allow that with our children. And what did we just do? We just set a value system that says, you know, cursing is not a real big deal. In fact, sometimes it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because when we watched it, we laughed, didn't we? We laughed at it. We thought it was pretty funny. And we taught them by a value system. We set a value system that says you can tolerate sin. Just go ahead and tolerate it. It's all right. You don't need to try to cut it out of your life. And then we taught them a value system. You know what? The world will not affect you. It doesn't have an impact. It doesn't bother you. You wonder if that's real. I've had parents that have ridiculed us because we wouldn't allow this kind of thing with our children. And they've made fun of us and ridiculed us, and they've lost their children to the world, and they're scratching their head wondering, I don't understand why they think cursing is no big deal and nudity is all right, and they think the world won't affect them. Well, you taught it to them. Exactly why that happened. You taught it to them. Now, the value system you set. Here's another study. Bible study. Here's something we would never, never sit down and teach our children. We wouldn't say, you know what, Bible study is unimportant. The Bible itself is just really not all that important. We wouldn't tell them that. We would not tell them, you don't need to read and study your Bible. You don't have to do that. Why would we tell them? Why would we not teach them that? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 said, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I need to teach them the way of the Lord. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. To grow more pleasing and acceptable to God, to grow also in the knowledge of the Lord. Bible study is important. We need to read and we need to study our Bible. But here's what we do, though. We may not study the Bible ourselves very much. And we may not check to see if our children have the Bible lesson. I am appalled at that. I don't know how it is here. We're in churches where a number of you are members. But I'm appalled at the 5th graders, 6th graders, 7th graders, 10th graders, even 9th through 12th grade. You come to Bible class and the parents don't have a clue that that's going on. The parents are not checking to see, do you have your Bible lesson? Have you read and studied your Bible lesson tonight? Kids coming to class have not read their chapter. They've not mailed out any questions. They're not ready for Bible class, and the parents haven't bothered to check to see if that's so. And in some cases, the parents have never seen reading and studying the Bible. Remember how you used to walk in on your grandmother and see her reading her Bible? Remember that? Your brother saw your daddy getting his Bible lesson. Our children aren't seeing us do that. And what we've done, we've just set a Bible value system that says, you know what, knowledge is not really a necessity. And we set a value system that says Bible classes are not all that important. But let the preacher and the teachers do the studying, and they'll tell us what it's all about. We don't have to read and study for ourselves. We set a value system in our children. See how that works? Let's take another subject. Let's take priorities. Priorities is another area where we set value systems. Here's something we would never, never teach our children. We would never teach our children, you know, school and job and money. Those kinds of things are more important than serving the Lord. We would never sit down and, you know what, play school. Let me tell you something, child. School is more important right now. You just need to focus on school. Don't worry about serving the Lord now. You just don't focus on spiritual things. You forget about that. The school is the priority of your life. And when you graduate from school, then your job is the priority of your life. We wouldn't tell them that. Let me tell you why we wouldn't do that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke the 14th chapter, if you will. Luke chapter 14. And in Luke 14 and verse 33, Jesus said, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that you had to forsake all to be his disciple. You had to forsake everything there is in order to be him. Everything else is secondary to serving the Lord. Here's what we do often. We allow our children to hardly ever miss school. But they miss class and class and class and oftentimes worship. Has that ever happened around Southwest Virginia and Eastern Kentucky? It happens in Middle Tennessee all the time. It happens all the time. Children who get a perfect record at school for attendance have straight A's at school. But you check the record and they miss half of the Bible classes. Why is that? Or maybe the parents allow that child to have a job and miss worship to make extra spending money. Well, they've got to have money to go to the movies. They've got to have money to go out and put gas in the cars, drive around on the weekend, be with their friends. They've got to have a job for that. So we allow them to work on Sundays and miss Sunday morning or Sunday night or both. We make sure they've got their homework. Don't go to class without having your homework. You'll be grounded if you make another bad grade on your report card, but they don't have their Bible class lesson. We've had parents at home that allow their children to miss their ball game. Playing sports. The game falls on Wednesday night, they go to the ball game. They don't come to Bible class. They sit back and wonder, I don't understand what's happened to my kids, but here's the value system that was just set. These parents have just set a value system that says school and job and sports and money are sometimes more important than serving the Lord. So where'd they get that idea? The parents sit back and say, I don't know who taught them that. I don't have a clue where they got that idea. Anyway, they got it from you. Something you would never teach, but you set a value system by the decisions that have been made, the example you set, and the things you allow. Remember those three things? Here's something else. Our association. Here's something we would never teach our kids. And if we had a preacher try to preach this in the pulpit, we'd get the brethren together, call the elders together, and we'd have them fired. Run out of town. You'd never need to be taught this. We'd never teach our children that non-Christian friends are better than Christian friends. Can you imagine a parent saying, now, I really want you to try to associate with people at school and the people in the community and don't spend much time with those folks at church? That'd be absurd, wouldn't it? We would never tell them that being with other Christians is of no value to you. There is no benefit in being with fellow Christians and children your own age that are godly people. We would never tell them that. And one reason is, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that evil associations corrupt our good morals. We know the value of friendships. Remember Proverbs 12 and verse 26, the righteous chooses his friends carefully. We would never teach those things to our children. Here's what we do. We may hardly associate with Christians outside the assembly. And we hardly ever see that our children are with other children that are godly. Outside the assembly. And they spend very little time with that, and didn't we allow them and encourage them to have friends in the world? They have a family back home right now that's having some difficulties with their children. In fact, they recently left, and one of their complaints about leaving was that our boys are discouraged. They're discouraged. Well, they are. What's wrong with them? Well, they just don't, other people just don't treat them. Don't show them much attention. Other children don't show them much attention. They don't? Well, I begin to list 10 things. You remember the get-together the young people had? Did you make sure your children wasn't letting up? When we had the Bible class, the special Bible class for at our house for teenagers, did you bring your children? No. When they got together for a birthday party for all the teenagers and your kids were invited, I remember them being invited, did you make sure they came? No. And we went through about 10 of those things. No, we didn't make them go to that. Where are they spending their time? Well, they're spending their time with their friends from school. So we encourage that. They have some good friends to spend some time with. You see the value system we just set? We just set a value system that says associating with Christians is not important. And we set a value system that says there is no value in being with other Christians, and there is no harm in worldly friends. You associate with them, and they will not influence you. And then we sit back and wonder, I don't know what put them astray. I don't have a clue what happened. We set values with reference to the home and to the family. And with reference to the home and family, we set value systems. Here's something we would never teach. We would never teach our children it's all right to defy the parents. Can you imagine a Bible class teacher if they got off in the back of one of the rooms of the church building and the teenage years and said, now children, there are times when it's all right for you to defy your parents. Well, we'd have that teacher removed from Bible class. And we would never teach our children some things are more important than family. Family is important, but there are some things that are far more important than family. And we would never teach them, you just marry anybody you want to marry because those kind of things don't matter. You choose you somebody you love and you like, and it doesn't matter if they're Christian or non-Christian, what their belief or what their religion is, you just marry them anyway. We'd never say that to our children, would we? Why? Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way that he should go. That's what I want to do with my children, don't you? Here's what we do. I've known of parents that encourage sneaking around. Maybe you've never seen that, but I've known of parents that maybe a mother that would tell the child to do something, now, don't tell your dad, I'll let you do that. See where that goes? Don't tell dad that I told you could do that. You go ahead and you do that and you go, but we won't tell your dad, I'll let you go. Maybe here's a family that has little time to spend together as a family because they're so busy. Maybe we allowed the child to have such a busy schedule, he can't ever have a supper with the family. We may allow and even encourage dating of non-Christians. You see what we did? We just set a value system. We just told those children by our value system, it's all right to disobey the parents sometimes. And we just set a value system that says it's all right to neglect the family because when you're real busy, that's okay to do that. And we just set a value system that says it makes no difference who you marry. And they marry someone that leads them astray and they quit going to church and we scratch our heads and we wonder, I don't know what happened. You see how the value systems work? There's power in value systems. You can lead somebody to the Lord or you can influence them to do wrong. Somebody's watching you. You may be a parent, you may be a grandparent. We set value systems by the example we set, the decisions we make. And the things that we do, we set those value systems by the things that we allow. And there are things that we would never dream of teaching, but here's what we do, and then we set those value systems. So what do we do about that? We need to make sure that we set a value system consistent with what we want to teach. If this is what I want my child to teach, be taught, and that's what I want them to learn, then I need to set a value system that fits that. Rather than having this desire, but I'm doing something different. And all so often, we set value systems contrary to anything that we would ever teach our children. There may be one more present tonight who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. You believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins and acknowledge your faith in Christ and be buried in the waters of baptism? for the remission of sins. If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?